Welcome back to Thick and Thin with me, Katie Bilotti. And before I get into the real nitty-gritty of this podcast episode, I do just want to point out that I had a really bad day today. Like, I, you know, it kind of like is one of those things where you don't really need to say or share that you had a bad day because, like, chances are a lot of other people had a bad day and, you know, you're not special sort of thing. But I just had a really, really freaking bad day, just, you know, for no specific reason. Like, you know, it could have obviously been a whole lot worse, but it just nonetheless was just not a fun, not a day where I was like, I'm killing it, you know. I was like, I'm doing the opposite of killing it today. And that was my mentality, you know, from the minute I woke up this morning to, like, honestly 5 minutes ago, and probably still after I record this episode. So, like, today was just a bad day. And, like, I can't really exactly pinpoint, you know, like, the reason why I had a bad day. I think it's just kind of one of those things where it snowballs. Like, it starts with one little small thing in the morning, you know, just waking up, like, I don't know, 15 minutes late, and then the rest of the day just seems completely bleak and unlivable, and you're, you know, useless, and you might as well just quit your job, quit your life, you know, move back to Minnesota. I don't know why I just said Minnesota. I'm from Maryland. But, you know, like, it's just one of those hopeless, you know, days where you're just like, this can't be it. Like, this can't be, like, what I've been working for my whole life, you know, this sort of day. And it's nothing, like, you know, against my work or, like, against, like, anything that I was, you know, doing today at work or anything like that. But, like, let's just say every little thing was just, like, going wrong, ticking me off, or just, like, making me want to, like, go take a really, really long nap and, like, eat carbs, you know, like, that sort of thing. So, anyway, I just wanted to preface this episode with that, you know, whole just mentality that I'm in right now, or, you know, just the whole, like, bad day concept, because a lot of what I'm going to be speaking to tonight has to do with, you know, how do you take a bad day or take, like, a situation where you're just, you know, not killing it, not loving what's, you know, unfolding, and turn it around, you know, because it's a lot easier said than done to do that. And when you just have, like, a downright just, like, shitty day, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, it's like, okay, well, how do I start tomorrow off on a better foot, and how do I, you know, salvage this day? Like, how do I make it not be for nothing? You know, and I feel like a lot of times, you know, not even just having a bad day, sometimes you can have, like, a bad couple of weeks or a bad couple of months. And, like, in that case, you know, how do you see life as, you know, having any sort of goodness left for you? Because sometimes you feel like, you know, all the goodness that you've ever, you know, deserved to experience has already happened to you, and, you know, the best days are done, and, like, you know, every person that's like, college is the best 4 years of your life is like, okay, well, I've officially peaked now, so, like, everything else, you know, from here on out is just kind of like going downhill until I eventually die. So, like, I hate when people, like, I mean, no, I honestly, I don't care what other people do, but I personally will never be like, college was the best 4 years of my life, because I sure as hell hope it's not the best 4 years of my life. I got a lot more life to live, hopefully. So anyway, so the gist of tonight's episode is kind of, how do you come out of a string of bad days or a string of bad moments, you know, the snowballing bad moments, like a period of time where you look at life and you don't see much hope, you don't see much love, you just see kind of this empty, you know, black hole of just, you know, uselessness situation. How do you look at that sort of life that you're living and see some sort of silver lining, or see how you can, you know, continue on like this? Because I feel like sometimes we get so caught up in just having just a bad run, you know, just like having a tough couple of days, couple of weeks, you know, a breakup, just, you know, your friends or just any sort of situation, you know, divorce in your family. And it's hard to see how things could get better. And it's hard to convince yourself to stick around for that. So I want to tonight, you know, kind of unpack the goodness that life can bring and just kind of the hope, you know, instilling some hope. And just kind of discussing also the unpredictability of this life that we live. Because I feel like a lot of us think that we know exactly what's happening tomorrow. We, you know, we just have this confidence in our futures, maybe not confidence in our futures being amazing per se, but confidence in that we think we know what is around the bend, and we think we know what is happening next weekend. And we think that, you know, we get so caught up in it, we can almost predict what's going to happen next. And I just want to say, we could not be more wrong in doing that, because life is an unpredictable beast, and I don't think that any of us, even the smartest people of this, you know, world, know what is around the bend and what's happening next, truly. So I'm going to be talking about that as well, bringing up some stories from the weekend that I experienced, some people that I met, and then also I do want to bring up the story of Vincent Van Gogh, you know, pulling in some history as I used to do a lot. I feel like I've kind of dropped off from that as of late because I've been so damn busy. I have not been able to research properly, but I did a little bit of research about Vincent Van Gogh, one of my favorite, I almost just called him an author. He is an artist. A la Starry Night, a lot of other really great paintings. Starry Night is my favorite. I know it's like a basic one, or quote unquote basic. I don't think any painting of Vincent Van Gogh is basic, okay? It's not. But obviously everyone loves Starry Night, but I grew up loving Starry Night when I was young, you know, too young to even know what it was called. My grandma actually recognized that I loved Starry Night so much that she made them into, you know, those little plates that you put on the light switches in your house. She custom like had them painted, you know, for me for all of the light switches in my bedroom as a kid, with Starry Night, like the painting on each of them. That was how much I loved Starry Night. And then I also had it in my freshman year dorm as a poster above my bed. Anyway, so yeah, if you want any more proof as to my favorite painting, because I feel like I need to justify myself always, I suppose. Anyway, so I'll be talking about Vincent Van Gogh as well. I know I'm going to get some criticism for calling him Vincent Van Gogh and not Vincent Van Gogh or Gogh or whatever you're supposed to say, but I've just always called him Vincent Van Gogh. It just rolls off the tongue for me, so I'm going to be one of those classic Americans that likely says something wrong because I feel I want to say it that way. But nonetheless, I appreciate him regardless of how you say his last name. So, but before I get into, you know, the life that was both tragic and, you know, full of obviously a lot of beauty that we now see all the time in museums and, you know, in art collections, I do want to talk about something extremely superficial and extremely just honestly superficial. But it's something that happened that really struck me and really made me feel something. And so in true thick and thin fashion, I'm going to talk about it. And of course, it has to do with dating because apparently that's all I can talk about. I'm just kidding. But honestly, I feel like whenever I speak to these subjects, you guys really appreciate it because I feel like there's such a lack of real people sitting down talking about, you know, flaws in their dating life and just things that go wrong. So I'm going to be talking about a bad date I went on recently. I'm not going to tell you when because, you know, for the sake of people listening that I go on these said dates with, because honestly, you'd be surprised how many of my ex-bad date companions have listened to my episodes and gotten extremely offended, as they should. Maybe not, because this is my job and they know that. But, you know, anyway, I'm going to just talk about this bad date I went on recently. So basically, it was a Hinge date. I've been on dating apps ever since I moved to the city. Because genuinely, it's like really the only way to meet people other than, you know, when you're out or honestly just like, or like randomly on the street or something. But like, it's honestly the best way to meet people that aren't like friends of friends or whatever. But if you just honestly, even if you don't want to meet people, if you just want to like see what's out there, it's a really great resource. So I really love Hinge. You know, I've dabbled with Bumble. My coworker actually found her boyfriend that she's moving in with on Bumble. So I recommend that one as well. You know, Tinder, there's a ton of stuff. So I'm on Hinge only, and Raya, the celebrity one. I think I've talked about this on my, did I talk about this last week? I like am losing track of the episodes, guys. But anyway, so I'm on two dating apps. I found this guy on Hinge that I really, really connected with. Honestly, he's more of the creative type. And to be honest, guys, I've had extremely bad luck with like going on dates with fellow creative types, like people that are too similar to me for whatever reason. It never ends well. I've like, it's like a curse. Like I just can't go out with people that are creative, honestly, that can like take a decent photo. Like I just can't go on a date with you. Sorry, I'm ruling that out of my dating habits now. But anyway, so I went on this date with a guy. We went to get dinner somewhere, and there were a few things that happened right off the bat that really pissed me off. Number one, he came in, he severely lied about his age on Hinge. Or no, age, oh my god, height. Height, like how would I know if he lied about his age? He lied about his height by 4 to 5 inches. Like not even just like, you know, one or two, because I feel like every guy maybe, you know, on the shorter scale of things lies about their height by like maybe an inch. Like if they're 5'9", they'll say they're 5'10". But like this guy lied, it was just like insane. He lied by at least 4 or 5 inches. You know, which isn't a problem. Like, I wouldn't say that, like, a deal breaker is height for me, but the fact that he lied about it on Hinge, I'm like, what else are you capable of lying about, you know? And then, of course, like clockwork, you know, he lied about something else. He also lied about where he was living in the city on his Hinge profile. You know, he said he was living somewhere else that's, like, a little bit more glamorous, and then he's living somewhere that's not there. And I'm like, dude, okay, like, so you lied about these two things on your Hinge profile. Great, whatever. Like, let's just, you know, continue the conversations. I don't know what it was. He was just being super, like, presumptuous. Like, he, like, already thought he had this date in the bag and I was going to just go home and sleep with him, you know? And just something about, like, the way the date was going, it just really made me super upset. Like, I was just getting more and more upset by the second because, you know, he lied. He's being, like, all... He's just, like... It wasn't working, you know? It wasn't working. Nothing about that date was working. So, you know, and I sat there. I felt extremely trapped, you know, when you're especially at dinner with a guy, you feel like you have to stay, you know, you can't just, like, walk out, like, all dramatically, you know, this isn't a rom-com. I guess you could, but, like, you know, for the sake of just everyone else in the restaurant, I was like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, hang out here and try not to gouge my eyeballs out with the spoon that's sitting next to me, you know? Like, I'm just gonna try to get through this. So I do, and I, like, make it, you know, till the end of dinner, and then, you know, of course, it's like, okay, who's gonna pay, blah, blah, you know, we're done with that, okay, great. I'm gonna go, you know, I have this deadline. It was a Friday night, what the heck was I talking about? But I was like, I have a deadline, I can't, you know, do anything else after this. And so I, you know, decide, he was like, oh, like, let me, like, let's, like Uber home together, aka code for, like, we're gonna do one stop, I'm gonna come home with you. You know, he was just being, I don't know, everything about this was just pissing me off to no end. And so then I was like, you know, no, like, I live super close, even though I, like, really didn't, like, it was probably a 25-minute walk. And it was dark out, which was just not smart. So, like, what I did was I was like, I live right here, like, whatever, blah, blah. Like, please don't follow me, like, I got it, like, let me be independent, I'll text you later, whatever. And so then I just, you know, walked, I turned the corner, not even towards my apartment, I just, like, turned the corner to get away from this guy, and I completely broke down, you know, like, I don't know what it was just, like, a combination of everything. And I think, honestly, what it truly was just, like, rooted in the idea that I have all these expectations for my life. You know, I have all of these plans, and, like, I'm a planner, and I just can't get over the fact that I still have not, you know, found someone I click with in New York. And I know it's only been a year and, like, 3 months, and I know that sounds absolutely bonkers, but, like, you guys have to know, if you listened to my last episode, I've had this dream for New York to, you know, just absolutely shatter my existence for so long, you know, since, like, seventh grade. And so now that I'm actually living it, I just find that, you know, in the grain of what I talked about last week, the magic seems to not exist anymore here. And it's now that I, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm not crying in an alleyway, you know, outside of this restaurant, hiding from this guy that I went on a date with. I'm seeing it a bit more clear, and I know it's not New York. It's just me and my high expectations, you know, honestly. And I think, like, you should navigate life with, like, a degree of high expectations, because you should always know that you deserve the world and you don't deserve to put up with shitty behavior and guys that lie on their Hinge profile and talk about themselves and, you know, give you, like, fuck boy eyes across the table, you know, like, you should know that you deserve way more than that. But I also think that you got to stop rushing through the chapters of your life. And I've said that before, but I think that a lot of times we think that our lives have to pan out exactly one way, you know, and that's just not how things go. And I think a lot of times we get so desperate and so just chaotic with the whole thing that we let it affect us more than we should. And so that really happened. That happened. And then, so yeah, that happened. Okay. Then the next night, so this is like a pretty jam-packed weekend of me just trying to redeem myself with men, okay? Because that went to shit. So I was like, okay, next try, like, I'm gonna, you know, go to Brooklyn with my friends, which I did. We went to Brooklyn. Went to this one bar in Brooklyn, which I've actually never been to before. So I haven't really explored Brooklyn extremely extensively. We go probably once every 3 months or so, and it's really great. There's like awesome places to visit there. If you ever are visiting the city, don't limit yourself to just Manhattan, because there's a lot of beauty and a lot of fun in Brooklyn. So went to Brooklyn, and then we went into this one place. My friend Julia, she like just freaking knows everyone in Manhattan. Like, for whatever reason, she like always just sees people that she knows. So of course she knows this group of guys, or like several in this group of guys, at the bar we were at. So we walk over to them. Honestly, you know, when we first met them, I wasn't quite sure if they were going to be, you know, receptive to us. Because sometimes you like, you know, you see people out in public and you're like, okay, hi, bye. But you don't like invite them to like sit down, or like you don't like, oh, like join us situation. But this guy was like, there's this group of guys was like, oh, you guys should join us, like sit down, you know, whatever, like come join us. And we were like, okay, because we didn't know anyone else, and it was like 5 o'clock on a Saturday and we were buzzed and, you know, happy and everything. So we went to the bar, got some margaritas, came back out, you know, sat with these guys, really hit it off with them as a group. You know, it was kind of like one of those things where we bantered, and it just seemed like we had already been friends before, you know? I love when I meet people like that, where it's like you click so well. And in New York, I think you need to have several sets of friends, you know? Like your college friends, if they're there, if they're here still, but like make new friends, because what's the point of living in a new city when you don't make any new friends and you just hang out with the same people that you hung out with in college? So making new friends is great. These guys were also a little bit older too, which is also interesting, just, you know, having some older friends that have, like, you know, had a lay of the land, have lived here for a bit. So it was great meeting them. And then, of course, you know, we had this party later at one of my friend's parents' apartments. I know, like, her parents have, like, a place here. It's, like, really nice. So we, like, had a little party there. We played, like, Heads Up, like, you know, all these games and such. And the guys that we had met earlier, or I had met earlier, came to said party. And they were actually, so it was like they came to the party, but we also had some friends there that we'd already known, and like some guy friends and like girlfriends. So it was like one big, you know, happy little meet and greet situation where everyone was meeting each other, everyone was mingling, you know, playing Flip Cup and being on the same team with people they didn't know. It was like a really awesome night. Like, honestly, one for the books of my Manhattan experience. And we didn't even go to a bar, which is the funniest part. So anyway, so we were with these guys. One of them in particular really hit it off with. Can't really put my finger. I mean, honestly, it was just one of those things where you know, when you like are talking to someone else and you just know that they aren't annoyed with what you're saying, or they're not like, okay, like, great, like they are really invested, or they're like feeding into your story, kind of just, you know, helping the conversation go and not just sitting there like absentmindedly listening, you know, like they're actually listening and they're actually contributing. That's honestly probably one of the best feelings in life, just knowing that you're talking to someone who you're on the same page with, who just gets it, kind of, you know? We were talking about this ghost story. Like, I remember very vividly. I was pretty, like, honestly drunk, but we were talking about this ghost story, this ghost that I thought, or that I'm very convinced still to this day, lived in my college house. We had this, like, we had a ghost, okay? There's no other way to put it. Like, we had a ghost in our house that was haunting our house. But honestly, I don't think it was haunting. It was like one of those friendly ghosts, you know, that's just like in purgatory. So was talking to him about this ghost, and like we were talking about it for like ever, okay? It felt like forever. And then I realized, like, oh, I think this guy is really cute. And I think that this is a nice little moment we're having here. So that happened. Then, of course, everyone was leaving at like 3 o'clock in the morning, because that's when everyone was like, okay, maybe we should like this should be done now, because we're like up at like 3:30 on a Saturday, and like we all have things to do on Sundays and such. And so, of course, you know, we were all saying our goodbyes, and it was one of those awkward little moments where I was like, oh, like, he's not gonna ask for my number. Like, damn it, I don't want him to like leave without having my number. And like, I never want to not see him again. So I was like, hey, like, take my number. Maybe we can hang out again sometime. Like, I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to be the one. So I was like, here, like, let me put my number in your phone, whatever. Put my number in his phone. He leaves. I like stayed back to help my friend clean her parents' apartment. And I was like, wow, like, great. I gave him my number, so I can't text him. So if he never texts me ever again or never talks to me, that'll be it. And like, great. So of course, like, me, just classic Katie overthinking everything and being like, well, great, like, awesome. Another one bites the dust. Like, I'm just incapable of anything. But that's just honestly every classic girl. Like, if you know what? I don't even want to say that and generalize, but like, I think a lot of us are on the same page in that. Like, we're like, just like, ready for something beautiful to happen to us, and we just are sick of waiting, which scares people away. And I know it's like not really a glamorous thing. Like I was listening to this podcast, Call Her Daddy. I mean, a lot of people have probably heard of it, but well, I listened to them. They were on Nick Viall, is that how you say his name, from The Bachelor? His podcast. And it was one of those things that came up when I suggested, and I like wouldn't normally listen to this type of podcast, but it came up, so I was like, okay, I'll listen to it. And on the podcast, they were like, if you want a guy to like you, you have to wait 3 days to text them, or you have to leave them on read, and you have to do all these things, and like, this is how you play the game, and this is how you get the guy. And I was listening to that, and I was like, well, clearly I've been playing the game all wrong, because I have just been laying my cards completely out on the table and being like, here's me, take it or leave it. And I don't know which is better or worse, because I feel like, I don't know, but I was listening to the podcast and I was just like, well, shit, like, okay, I guess I haven't been playing things right. So, okay, back to the story. So anyway, I was helping my friend clean up her apartment, felt my phone buzz in my hand, you know, that I was cleaning up things with. And I was like, okay, do I dare turn it over? Like, what is it going to be? Like, who is it? Because of course I want it to be him, but like, it could be anyone. So turn my phone over. Sure enough, it's him. Like, I like got full body chills, because that never happens to me. And you know, people always just like, I don't know. It goes both ways, because I ghost the shit out of people too. Like, honestly, I'm sorry I'm cursing so much in this episode. I guess it's because I'm like really tired right now, so like everything's just rolling off my tongue. But anyway, so I feel like I leave people on read, or like I get left on read situation of just like people not returning, whatever. Because here's the thing, it's in life, you know, it's always the people you don't want that give you the attention, and always the people that you really want that don't give you the attention, until you find that like ding ding ding, we have a winner person that you do like and gives you attention. Okay, but like, it's gonna be hard, or like it's easy for some people, and like, thank you, know, good for you, you go Glenn Coco. But like, for the rest of us, it's one of those things where it's like you never want the people that want you. So anyway, guy in question texted me, hallelujah, you know. And so I, you know, we talked for a little bit, we made plans to hang out, we hung out, and then he went kind of cold for a little bit, like a couple days, like a day and a half. And you know, for me, that's just me thinking like, oh my God, he hates me, because I'm like an overthinker like everyone else. But you know, it really wasn't the fact that he wasn't texting me that was the issue. It was just me getting in my feels about just the general cycle that I've been putting myself through with guys. You know, it wasn't even him, to be honest, that was the problem. It just kind of started the wheels turning in my head about how many times I've been involved with, you know, liking someone, like getting, you know, my hopes up, I guess. And then like, just not, things aren't, you know, don't pan out, or he ends up just using me, or just ends up being a fuckboy, and just a numerous, you know, the numerous reasons why guys ghost, you know. And I obviously, like I said, like I've done it too. I've ghosted people before. It just, you know, the door swings both ways, but of course it sucks when it happens to you, you know. And so he wasn't texting me, and I was just feeling super deflated about it. Got up the next day for work. And I've been doing this thing where I work out before work, like I exercise before work. So, you know, I was walking to the gym and was just like still thinking about it, like days later, the fact that we hadn't spoken, you know, and still like just like in my head about it. And so I was walking to the gym and, you know, I was like probably halfway there and felt like someone grabbed my shoulder, and I'm like, what the heck? And I like turned around. And it's this guy I've never seen before, but like, of course, my like tired brain, I had just woken up 20 minutes ago, I go, hey, like thinking like maybe I know who it is, like know the person. Never seen him in my life. Like just, you know, a very attractive, tall, dark and handsome random guy who looks like a little bit older than me, probably like 3 years older than me or so. And, you know, I take out my AirPods because I have my AirPods in. I was like late to like go in the gym, like I, you know, only had a certain amount of time before I had to shower and get ready and go to work, you know. So I take out my AirPods, look at the guy, like waiting for him to tell me like my shoes untied or something. And he was like, hey, like, and he's like panting, and I'm like, are you okay? He's like, well, I just like ran after you, like you were walking really fast on the street and I just like had to talk to you, so I ran after you. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, what? Like, no, that doesn't happen to me, okay? Like, that never happens to me, of course. But I'm like, classic freaking New York City, like this happens of course to like people, but never to me. So he was like, yeah, I really just like felt very compelled to, you know, tell you I think you're beautiful, and that I really would love to, you know, get to know you further. Like, you seem like the type of person, like, you're going to the, you know, work out at this time. Like, I'm a doctor, so I just, you know, have to work out before my shift or something. Like, I just got off my shift, so I'm working out. Or, like, I don't know. He was just, like, honestly, I think he was nervous. He was, like, word vomiting. But essentially, he wanted to take me on a date or something. And I never met him before, but it was just one of those things where I guess he just, like, saw me and was like, we should hang out, you know? And I was just honestly standing there, like, flabbergasted. I'm like, am I still asleep? Like, is this a dream? Like, I know I'm, like, walking in the gym, but, like, maybe I'm still in my bed and I just, like, think I'm walking in the gym, like, in my head, in my dream. So, anyway, I just, like, I was, like, probably, I was a woman of few words because in the morning, I'm just not a morning person. So, anyway, and then, you know, one thing led to another. I gave him my number and, you know, we're talking now, like, here and there. Like, you know, he's apparently on, like, location or something for doctor-ness, whatever he's doing, or he's, like, he's going somewhere to, like, do some sort of doctor thing until September. So, you know, we're TBD what's going to happen then. But anyway, you're probably wondering why the hell I'm telling you all these stories about men that I've experienced this past weekend and where we're going with this. So essentially, I just wanted to say, you know, things can go south, you know, in a couple of instances. You know, you can have a really bad date, a guy that doesn't text you back, and then you can experience, you know, something just so not expected, something that you're not looking for. You know, you're dwelling on these other things, and then all of a sudden, you know, something just grabs you on the street, like, literally grabs you. And, you know, this is obviously not helping the story. The second guy I was talking about ended up texting me that night, you know, like, way later, but still, you know, texting me. I made a great conversation and whatever. And, like, who's to say that won't go somewhere? But, like, I just thought that it was just such an interesting narrative, you know, that, like, two times I, like, quote unquote, struck out and just was feeling extremely deflated and extremely just, like, angry and a number of things. And, you know, then this guy, like, literally a very cute guy, taps me on the street on the way to the gym when I have not put a single drop of makeup on my face. And, like, it just goes to show that, like, you think that you know what your life is going to look like and where your life is going and what's around the next corner, but truly you do not know, you know? And who's to say that this guy is even, like, the answer to my prayers and every, you know, candle I've ever blown out of my birthday cake? But, like, still, it just goes to show that you really never know what's around the bend. And I just wanted to share that and share that, you know, like I said, who's to say what's going to actually come of this, but, like, you have to hang in there because beautiful little spontaneous moments like that will happen to you. Like, believe me, I'm not the type of person that ever, like, wins a lottery or, like, anything, like, remotely amazing like that happens to me, like, very spontaneous, like, and that happened to me. So, like, you have to hang in there because these beautiful moments, you know, not to say, like, you should be, like, waiting and holding out for, like, a hero and, like, for Prince Charming, because you should never, you know, put your life on pause for that situation, for that sort of thing. But I just, you know, I'm sick of people, you know, completely disregarding romantic stories and such because, you know, of this empowering age we live in. I think you can still feel empowered when you talk about, you know, dating and the opposite sex. And I will stand by that till the end of time. So anyway, just want to share that story. I'm going to interrupt this episode real quick to introduce tonight's sponsor because I clearly have been carried away with the story and need to talk about the sponsor of tonight's episode. So tonight's episode is sponsored by Care Of Vitamins. Care Of is a subscription service that delivers vitamins and supplements customized for your specific health needs. I've been a user of Care Of Vitamins for quite some time, as you guys know. I was talking about them, like, way back in, like, last fall. So I've been using them for quite some time. As you guys know, I'm a big, you know, aesthetic person. I like when things just look pretty and are also functional, and so the fact that Care Of Vitamins are, you know, great for my health, they target my specific health needs based on a survey that I filled out that took, like, no time at all on their website. But it's also super cute. The little packets they come in have my name on them. They look really nice. They're in, like, this nice little box right next to my door. I, you know, take a pack with me to the office and we'll take it at work with a glass of water, and, you know, I have my daily vitamins in me, which is really great. They're individually wrapped little vitamins vitamin packets are now actually made from compostable plant-based film that meet the same safety standards, so your vitamins are kept fresh while now being, you know, better for the environment, which is great and comforting to know. And for more details on that and how to compost the packs, there's all the details in the world on Care/of's website on how to do so. So that's great as well. So basically, you know, what goes into a Care/of subscription, you basically go online and take their online quiz, which lets you know exactly what you need in terms of vitamins. It's a fun little online quiz that asks you about your diet, your health goals, lifestyle choices, and only takes nearly like 5 minutes to fill out. And then it, you know, matches you with supplement and vitamin recommendations from there. And then you, you know, order the packets, they come in a nice little box. And like I said, you can put it by your door. Super easy and convenient, because sometimes it can be really hard to tell or know what kind of vitamins and supplements you should be taking. So Care/of makes it super easy to find out what you specifically need to be your healthiest. And as always, I have a little deal for you guys. So for 25% off your first Care/of order, just go to takecareof, that's takecareof.com, and enter my specific code, Hello Katie. That's Hello, HelloKaty. Don't forget the Y at the end of Katie, or else I'll be salty. And you can get 25% off your first Care/of order. So that's takecareof.com and enter my code, Hello Katie. So yeah, hope you guys all enjoy your first try with Care/of vitamins, and you'll love them as much as I do. And let's get on with the episode. All right, guys, so now that I have, you know, sufficiently used up a lot of my podcasting minutes on my dating update and just, you know, how you can never see around the bend when it comes to who you're going to be with and who you're going to be, you know, approached by and things like that, and you can't let yourself get down, you know, after a few bad dates, because, you know, yeah, there's a few bad dates, but that does not mean there's not a few good dates that are going to come to even things out. Because I'm a big believer in, you know, universe, there's a really noisy motorcycle outside, the universe, you know, settling the scales. Because I think for everything that the universe takes from us, or it feels like the universe is taking from us, you know, whether it be just the confidence in yourself, or your relationships, you know, as I feel, or quite literally taking away a person from you, you know, a death, or just any sort of loss that we feel, the universe, you know, takes, but it also gives. And I think for everything that it takes, it gives. It truly does give. I think it's honestly a matter of looking up long enough, kind of taking in the world long enough to recognize that the world or the universe does give back. Because I feel like sometimes we're so obsessed with the ways that we feel robbed that we don't quite realize when, think, you know, beautiful things are being thrust in our direction, because we just can't get the negative stuff out of our minds. So anyway, that I did want to discuss before I get into the story of Vincent van Gogh, which is one of those stories where, you know, I knew bits and pieces just from, you know, art history and just like various classes I've taken in my life, but I didn't quite know the extent. And to be honest, his story, you know, while it is like pretty depressing in the end because he did commit suicide, it is pretty beautiful in the sense that it really does portray, you know, what success truly looks like and how the most creative people, the most successful people are honestly pretty upset with themselves half the time, and that, you know, with great knowledge, with great, you know, power comes great responsibility. Sorry, I had to say that. With great knowledge comes, you know, just great perspective, to the point where you see so many ends of the universe that it all just becomes so overwhelming, and just you see so much, so you see so much flaw in yourself. And so, you know, that was something that Vincent van Gogh struggled with. And essentially, you know, he, on July 27th, 1890, to be exact, I wrote it down, he shot himself with a revolver. The really horrible part about him shooting himself is he actually missed his vital organs, so he... Oh my God, what was that? What are all these like weird noises tonight? It's a Tuesday. he missed his vital organs, so he shot himself and essentially died of an infection over time. So he didn't die instantly, which is really horrible amount of pain to be put in. But anyway, so basically everyone knows kind of the story of Vincent van Gogh, you know, one of the most famous painters in the world. You know, he only sold one painting during his lifetime. So his, you know, 10-year span of being a painter, because he didn't actually start painting until he was 27. So I just want that was honestly a fact I didn't know. So when he was my age, 23, he hadn't even picked up a paintbrush to start. Or maybe he did, but he hadn't painted a single painting, you know, whatever, like an actual work that is for sale now for $60 million a pop. So I think that's insane that, like, you know, in the next 4 years, I could start a career that will be, you know, something similar to Vincent van Gogh, you know, something that could be like completely just earth shattering and beautiful. And I haven't even gotten there yet. So yeah, that's a moral of the story of why you should stick around, because, you know, you never know when, you know, your time is, and it could be tomorrow. So anyway, so he basically, you know, throughout his lifetime, and especially his 10 years of creating artwork, he was, you know, very much riddled with a lot of just self-destructive thoughts. He, you know, had a lot of manic episodes, had a lot of, you know, just anger. You know, as we know, he cut his ear off in an argument with another artist, just out of just desperation, and he literally mailed his ear to, I believe it was a prostitute or something like that. That doesn't like have to do with my story, but, you know, that happened. So he had a lot of just a lot of turmoil within himself, and so he actually ended up checking himself into an asylum in hopes that he would get better. And while he was at the asylum, first of all, they diagnosed him with schizophrenia, of course, because I feel like back in the day they always did that. When you had bipolar disorder, they thought you just had schizophrenia, so they like misdiagnosed him. But anyway, so when he was at this asylum, he painted so many of his best works, in my opinion. One being Starry Night, because Starry Night was actually the view, like the what he saw from his window at the asylum. Apparently, that's what stories have said. And so I thought that was particularly beautiful and has to do a lot with what I'm talking about tonight, because, you know, in a place where you feel like everything is going to shit, like you're in an asylum, and, you know, in this time in the 1800s where, you know, people just don't understand mental illness for, you know, for starters. And then also he'd only sold one painting. He's painted, you know, actually 2,000 plus paintings he did in his life, in his 10-year span, per se, of, you know, painting. And he'd only sold one painting successfully. One painting, okay? And I think it was to a relative or someone, a friend of a friend. It wasn't even like, you know. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But, you know, you're feeling like you have no prospects, you know, when you're in that situation. When you feel misunderstood, you feel like you are, you know, a failure at your craft and what you're passionate about, and you just feel like there's nothing you can gain from this. And, you know, of course he wouldn't know. He wouldn't know it. Sorry, people are like screaming. What, is everyone okay in New York, Manhattan? Are you guys okay? Sorry, there's a bar like directly below, so like, of course, I can hear everything. We're getting to that point in the night where people are leaving said bar. So anyway, yeah, so like from all of that, turmoil and sadness and hopelessness, one of his most beautiful paintings, one of my favorite paintings that he's ever done, came from that. And of course he wouldn't know it, that, you know, Starry Night would ever become worth anything more than, you know, a couple dollars or whatever he was trying to sell them for back in the day. But, you know, this painting is one of the most legendary works of art in the world, and, you know, what, most recognizable works of art in the world, you know. And this came from a place of just total despair in his life. And, you know, he didn't even get to see it sold or, you know, in like a studio, or not a studio, like in a, you know, a gallery where people are admiring it. And this actually brings me to my next point, which I wanted to make, which is kind of what made me think of Van Gogh in the first place for this episode. I randomly stumbled across, you know, when you fall in like a black hole of YouTube and you're just like watching all these random things on YouTube. So the other night I was watching just random things, and, you know, in my suggested came up this episode of Doctor Who, which I've actually never really watched Doctor Who. I've always heard about it. I know there's like a bunch of cult, you know, people that follow it super, like super intently. And I don't even know if they're still recording new episodes, but I've always been told I should watch it. So of course I stumbled across the one episode where apparently, so they bring back Van Gogh from the dead, and he is able to step foot in a gallery, you know, or in a museum where his work is all displayed, and he gets to see people admiring his work. You know, that he'd never seen that in his lifetime, in his 10 years, you know, before he killed himself. He never got to see people truly admire and truly appreciate his artwork to the extent of that he deserved, because obviously his works are beautiful. And so, and he also got to hear the, I guess, gallery attendant, or what do they call it? I don't even know. Basically the guy that like gives the tours at the gallery tour, I guess, tour guide. You know, he got to hear him talk about how talented he was, you know? So he got to hear all this praise and see all this praise and see all these people appreciating him, you know, and he just got super emotional and, you know, broke down in the episode. And it was like so interesting watching it, because I'm like, you know, I feel like he seemed to be like a very emotional, very, you know, intellectual, in touch with his, you know, his feelings, kind of rash, but in touch guy. And so I feel like this is a total rational or just very realistic way of how he would react to such a thing. And I can't imagine, you know, I feel like a lot of us can't imagine or fathom doing all this great, you know, amazing work and creating all this stuff that we're really passionate about, or maybe that we're not passionate about because we're hard on ourselves, you know, but just creating all this stuff that could be famous someday and killing ourselves before we ever have a chance to see it come to fruition, you know. And it's just, it's sad to think about, but it also is kind of motivating that, you know, I want to stick around. If I'm working on all these things that I'm really pouring my heart and soul into, I want to stick around to see, you know, people appreciate it. Because, I mean, if I'm creating work for people, that is. So if I'm creating a painting, obviously a painting is meant to be appreciated by people, you know. Not everything in life that is successful or that is worth success is to be appreciated by other people. Some things, you know, I mean, I guess most things, but like I said, it's not all about what other people think in life. You know, I've always said that in all my various episodes. But basically, you know, I think that the moral of the story is here, you know, to know that, I mean, you're worth a seat on this planet. You're worth a place here. And you are irreplaceable and amazing. And I feel like sometimes in the grand scheme of, you know, getting left on red and going on shitty dates and just having a really bad day, we kind of lose that. And we kind of, you know, the magic seems to fade and we just don't see ourselves as very special anymore. You know, yeah. So I did want to read a quote that Vincent said. He said, I put my heart and soul into my work and I lost my head in the process. So I think that sometimes that's a real thing that happens. You know, we get so lost in the sauce. I had to say it. We get so lost in what we're doing and what we're creating and things and what we're doing on a day-to-day basis that we kind of lose our sanity, you know, in doing so. And it almost takes leaning on others, you know, leaning on why we started, you know, and just kind of grounding ourselves, doing whatever we need to do so. For me, it's, you know, just, you know, unplugging, sitting somewhere with a book, like that's it for me, and talking to my friends, and that kind of brings me back down to earth, you know. And I think that that is just how we maintain our sanity and get over these bad days, you know, just finding our bliss in whatever that looks like for us and clinging on to it whenever we feel these moments of despair and bad days, and, you know, distracting ourselves in whatever way we can. So okay, what else did I write? As you guys know, I'm reading from my journal because I write down a lot of my thoughts in my journal. I'm actually on the last page of my journal, so I need to buy another one, which is exciting. I love filling these up because I'm just going to like stack them on my bookshelf and someday look back on them and be like, oh, I remember that day. So I wrote down this quote that I saw on, I don't even know where I saw this, but I said, it says, so many broken children living in adult bodies mimicking adult lives. We often feel that life isn't fair. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think that sometimes, especially now when I'm in like this, you know, freshman feeling of adulting, you know, like I'm still pretty, you know, fresh in the adulting phase. I feel like sometimes I'm faking it till I make it to the point where I feel like an imposter. And I almost, you know, have these very childlike ideas of where I want my life to be. And I feel like sometimes I feel that, like, you know, life is it's unfair. And I feel like, you know, pounding my fist and being just like a, you know, a little kid that's just, you know, having a tantrum. And I feel broken and I feel lonely sometimes. And I just, you know, feel all these things in one. And I feel like sometimes we're just so, you know, robotically living like we're supposed to have it all together. And we're supposed to be these big bad adults with these dream jobs and wearing suits and carrying briefcases. And we forget that, you know, a lot of us are kind of just, you know, little kids and grown-up bodies, you know, just wanting to be loved and wanting to be heard and wanting to, you know, have a life that is fair, you know? So, and I also wrote down something else, which is a quote by Lucas W. He's like a big Tumblr quote person. He said, "We try so hard to make our lives meaningful in the eyes of another and end up forgetting to be happy. We end up forgetting to be happy." So that kind of plays hand in hand with, you know, what I just said as to, you know, we think that we need to portray this certain image, you know, to keep up with what we're supposed to be at this age. And we forget that, you know, everyone else like us has these moments of weakness, you know, bad days where we get caught up in things that, you know, adults aren't supposed to get caught up in. You know, an adult is not supposed to cry after a date, you know? An adult is supposed to get their shit together and find their, you know, perfect husband and move in with them and have babies and all this stuff. And they're not supposed to have such problems with their relationships. You know, the perfect adult that I see in my head that I thought that I was going to be. But, you know, newsflash, I'm not that perfect adult. I'm the one that is still coming to terms with who I am and what I want. And even, you know, if I even feel like I need to be in this city to do all those things, you know? And so, you know, today and every day is such an integral part of our growth. And so I just wanted to say, you know, in these bad days, in these hard times, even if it doesn't seem like it, you are moving forward still, even though it feels like you're moving backwards. I think with even the bad days, we're still moving forwards in some way because we're learning yet another way not to do things, not to be loved. You know, every bad date, we're learning one more way not to be loved and how we don't feel like we are loved. So, yeah, I wanted to close this episode with a quote from Vincent Van Gogh that I find very special. And if I was going to get a tattoo, I'd get this tattooed. So it says, "For my part, I know nothing with any certainty, but the sight of the stars makes me dream." Van Gogh. So that's it for tonight's episode, guys. Hope you enjoyed, and I will talk to you all next week. Bye.